Blog Talk Radio.
Sports show. To start off with, just got to say that this is probably going to be the last show. I was planning on next week to be the last show because of school coming up and everything. So, got school semester coming up. So I'm at least going to at least take the school semester off and get ready for the school semester. So something came up for next Wednesday. So tonight, it's going to be my last one, at least for a little while. So might be for a semester, might be for the whole school year. I'm this close to getting my degree, so I am super, super excited about that. So I hate to be going away from you guys, but I appreciate it, each and every one of you tuning in to every episode that we've done and your continued support and the group and everything. So our topics today, we're going to cover some college football predictions. Should college athletes... should they get paid? Should they get some form of compensation? And also, we're going to try to touch on the MLB trade deadline a little bit because we know some big-time moves were made, especially my Braves. They're making some moves. Yankees, Red Sox at the deadline making moves. And, man, even some moves that I didn't even – some names I didn't even would have never thought of getting moved got moved. So we're going to have a big show today. We're going to go, and we're going to send the show out with a bang. I'm going to go ahead and bring on – I'm going to go ahead and bring on my co-host, Corey Cagle. Corey, you out there, buddy? You with me?
What's going on, man? I'm here.
All right. Glad to have you on, brother.
What's up?
Man, glad to have you on.
Show, but it'll be all right.
Well, I hope if everything works out perfectly, this will be the last one we do. I can at least take the semester off and focus on, my schooling, and then we can, come back better than ever and keep this bad boy rolling, man, because I'm having fun this.
Get your degree.
I know you are too, but right now I need to get my head on straight. I'm about two semesters away from getting my dang degree, so if I can just get past this semester here, I think I'll be coasting, so I just need to focus on this semester, but we'll get to that in another topic. Corey, man, before we get started, what's on your mind, brother?
Man, it's bittersweet, but I'm proud of you. I'm glad you're getting this done, man. I just want to give you a big shout-out. You'll get that degree. Let's talk some football.
All right. I appreciate it, man. Before we touch on getting on to college football and everything, I want to talk about the MLB trade deadline a little bit. Now, Corey, I know you're Red Sox. You got a five-and-a-half-game lead on the New York Yankees right now. Y'all got starter Nathan Eovaldi from Tampa Bay, but what do you think about the Yankees trying to load up with all this pitching and bullpen and they're just trying to load up to help get to y'all and close that five-and-a-half-game gap. What do you think about that?
They better do what they can because they see it's – I think, honestly, they're just loading up for the playoffs. At this point, they don't really care about the division. They're just loading up for playoffs. And
yep.
That's cool. That's understandable. We'll see them in the ALCS.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what it matters most is right there. So, playoffs is what matters most. Even though I think the Yankees loaded up, I think the Red Sox are still the favorite in the American League, in my opinion. Up there with the Astros.
Man, I'm
back and forth between Boston and Houston. I think Houston's got a stellar team. I don't know. if you ask me tomorrow, I might tell you the Astros. If you ask me tomorrow, I might tell you the Red Sox are favorite or my favorite in the American League right now. So I don't know. I think it's going to come down to Boston and Houston in the ALCS when they're going to the World Series.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I hate the Yankees, so I'm not going to give them any kind of credit. Wherever they think they're getting credit, they're not.
Right, right. Now, also at the trade deadline, you know, my Atlanta Braves have made some moves. We acquired five players over the course of the MLB trade deadline. First one we got Johnny Venters from Tampa Bay. We sent them some international slot money. So we didn't really give up much there. We got Brad Brock from Baltimore for the same thing, for international slot money. And then we got to the trade deadline. Our GM, Alex Anthopoulos, made a move that I wasn't expecting, but I knew we needed somebody that could possibly play third base and could probably play outfield a little bit, but we needed another right-handed power bat. And he went out and got Duvall from Cincinnati, who's a guy that I really like. So I like that move that he made. And I like that move he made there to get Duvall. We sent away, you know, Preston Tucker and two minor league pitchers who haven't really lived up to the hype that they've got behind them, and Whistler and Sims. So, you know, good riddance to them. I hate to say that, but they're gone. And then we sent like four minor leaguers and some cash to Baltimore again for two more pitchers, one starter and one reliever. So we were active at the deadline trying to make a run for the field game out of first place there, but I think the National League is wide, wide now. It's anybody's race out in the National League. The Phillies are going to make a good run for it, whether they get the wild card or they get the division win. Chicago, Milwaukee, Arizona, Colorado, the Dodgers. It's wide, wide, wide open right now in the National League. So I think it's anybody's race right now in the National League.
Yeah, it's wide open in the NL. Looking forward, I'm honestly ready for some baseball playoffs. That's when it gets interesting, to say the least, for me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And
I'm ready to see it.
Even though trades can still be made, you know, at this point, that was a non-waiver trade deadline that happened yesterday. But now players can be – this is a waiver period. Trade deadline ends August 31st. The only way a player can be traded is if he's put on waivers. And it goes in reverse order of standings on waivers. So whatever team decides they want to claim him, they can make a trade if they want to claim that player, you know, that was placed on waivers. So that's just – for anybody that might be confused between non-waiver trade deadline and the waiver period trade deadline. So – we'll touch on that there. But before baseball playoffs happen, you get started with the greatest sport in all of the world. That's college football. We are 30 days away from the start of college football. And that's what we're going to focus most of our show on here. I just want to touch on the trade deadline a little bit, but we're going to focus most of our show on college football. And with that being said, Corey, I'm going to ask you a question that seems to be, as far as college sports are concerned, as far as college sports go, should, you know, it's something everybody's been talking about for years and years now. Should college athletes get some form of compensation for playing college athletics?
Me and Kevin Dixon had a show a few weeks ago. I think it was our second show on the Fresh Cup, and we talked about I think we kind of touched base on this a little bit. My personal opinion, they should get some compensation. Now, when I say some compensation, I'm talking like, you know, I'm not talking no $100,000 a year, $200,000 a year, nothing like that. But I feel like they should have a split between each of the players, you know, maybe like $1,600 a month between players, you know, throughout the year. I think that's a fair. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, you know, let's say Johnny Manziel here is the quarterback. He's the Heisman winner. Whatever, we're going to give him, you know, $25,000 outright. No, that's not what I'm saying. They're still getting a free education out of it. So, I mean, they can't really complain too much, but at the same time, they still need to be compensated just a little bit to live out there, man, because, like you know, college is expensive, and, I mean, it's hard to live out there.
Man, and I'll tell you this right now. As a college student right now, as much as I wanted to play college football, you know, I wasn't given the opportunity to have a full ride like some of these guys are. So that's why I didn't play college, you know, football and stuff. And plus, knowing if I played college football, it'd been hard for me to, you know, make it without, you know, having to go get a job and all that and spend all my time on college athletics, college football and all that. So coming from my standpoint, coming out of high school, being in that situation, you know, I'm not saying they ought to get paid like big time money like you. I agree they should get like somewhere around like $1,500, $2,000 to help them live throughout the semester. You know, especially if they're living off campus, to help them, you know, with food. I mean, most of them athletes, even here at my university at Tennessee Tech, most of the athletes, they live on campus because that's given to them. That's part of their free ride and part of their education and everything. So, I mean, if that's awarded to them, you got to give them at least a little bit of money so that way they can make it and live and make some food and be able to survive and stuff like that throughout the course of a semester, because college is expensive, textbooks are expensive, and I'm telling you, college athletes, in my opinion, they do deserve to get paid, because most of these colleges, they cost money that I don't even want to consider, because they're so expensive to go to, especially out of state. And so, I mean, so $2,000 a semester, that could help a college kid. That could help a college kid a lot, considering, you know, go buy food and everything like that, especially when you live on campus and, you know, and you don't have, you know, big time options right there. So, and they're paying for your housing. So, I mean, that could do wonders for a college kid there, in my opinion. Reginald Johnson Jr. in the live feed said he just sent his child as a walk-on today for UCLA fall camp. The walk-on has cut him a small break. Housing costs dropped a lot. Now, that's real good. I'm glad to hear that. College athletes, they deserve to have, you know, some of the best things out there, like housing and breaks and stuff like that, and be able to get, you know, cuts on housing and stuff like that, because they're going to be spending most of their time out there in athletics, and they're not going to have time to go out and get jobs. So, and first of all, congratulations for your son walking on at UCLA fall camp. I hope he does very well, and I hope he ends up making a roster out there at UCLA, and I hope he does some big things out there for them. I wish him nothing but the best, and I wish him the best of luck. So, but with that being said, even as a walk-on, you know, any little bit of compensation that any college player can make, whether you're a walk-on, whether you got a full-ride scholarship, whatever your title is on that football field, that's not just football, basketball, baseball, volleyball, but everybody's like, well, how can everybody in every sport get paid when especially football is the thing that drives most of these colleges? Basketball, football, those are two sports that mainly drive most of these colleges, especially like Tennessee and Florida. And most of the schools down south in the SEC, they're driven off the money they make off of football. So I'm not saying however much those sports make, pay those athletes based off that. I'm saying you should find a way that the university makes money off of all athletics and find a way to evenly distribute at least a little bit of money to the kids. Now, if you got like a walk-on, give them, you know, probably $1,000, $2,000 or to $1,500, somewhere in that frame, to pay them, help them, you know, live and survive and everything. And then if you've got guys with full ride scholarships, pay them somewhere around $2,000 a semester and help them survive for, you know, because a semester is a 4-month long period, and basically for a whole season and a whole semester, you're practicing football, you're practicing your athletics, you're playing in games, and not only that, but you're also dedicating all your time, even in the off season, to these sports. So I think they should at least get some kind of compensation, get paid in some way, shape, or form. That's just my opinion. So, Corey, I agree with you with what you said there. So, I just think they got to survive, man. You know what I mean? You got to help these kids out, man. That's just my philosophy on this whole thing.
Yeah, you got to help them out, man. It's hard up there. I mean, it really is, especially for the walk-ons.
Yeah,
because
they got a hard scholarship. And I'm not up to date with the NCAA policies and the NCAA's policies about like having, you know, jobs and stuff in the off season or during the season, like while you're, you know, getting ready to perform for your school or whatever. I'm not sure what those policies are, what their rules are, but I know it's extremely, extremely hard for somebody, even at a small school like the school that I go to, or even if you go to a big university, to practice for your sport and then turn around and have to go work a job and have to study and keep up with your, you know, academics and all this stuff. That's really hard for them to do. So that's why I say that they should get some form of compensation for you know, just for playing athletics, because they're basically, if you're treating it like a full-time job, they should at least get a little bit out of it.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I'm over trying to find it right now, see if there's anything about it.
Okay. I was about to say, because I was doing some digging into that earlier, looking around for it, and I didn't really see anything about it, you know, in too much detail about it. So that's why I really wasn't for sure what that rule was there. So, but I know it's really, really hard, even if they have something in place like that, for them to, you know, unless it's on campus, you know, unless it's something on campus and, you know, something like that, because they got, I know like college programs, they got on campus, like work studies, where you can dedicate a lot of your time to go work, and it's part of your, you get so many like hours for classes or whatever and stuff. So, and you work on campus, and then, you know, it's for the university and stuff. So, I know we've got some stuff like that going on, you know, on campuses, seeing that, you know, from a college standpoint. So, but still, it's hard to manage all that at once, you know, especially if you're a college athlete. Michael Ziegler Jr. in the live feed earlier said that the Indians will be tough when we was talking about the MLB baseball race. I do agree there. The Indians have a 10-game lead on Minnesota right now in the American League Central. And I do agree with you there. Indians got a good little club. I think they're going to be a little sleeper pick out there in the American League playoffs that nobody's going to see coming. I think they'll be a little sleeper pick there. However, I just don't see them getting past the Astros or the Yankees or the Red Sox, one of those teams there. So I don't see them getting past those three teams. But I do think that they can be a sleeper, and I think they can probably force the division series to go to a 5-game series there. So just to touch on that a little bit.
So let's go ahead and get the monkey out of the room. Let's hear your thoughts about Urban Meyer.
Oh yeah, that's something I was fixing to touch on. This whole Urban Meyer incident. Corey, I know you've got a lot of experience with Urban Meyer since you're a Florida fan, and he used to be the head coach at the University of Florida. Man, I'm gonna go ahead and throw it to you first, and let me get your thoughts on just this whole Urban Meyer incident at Ohio State, man. The floor is yours.
I mean, man, I want to like him, I do, but I think he is hiding it, and there's no denying that he's lied about it. Because if he's known about it, he's not gonna let anybody know about it, clearly.
Right.
And that's
right.
How he's done before.
I agree with you there.
And I mean, honestly, you know, if they keep him, I think that's a slap in the face of the university, because they fired Jim Trussell over, what, some free tattoos? Am I correct on that? Some free tattoos back in 2010?
Yes. Yeah, and Jim Trussell, I think they fired him because he lied about knowing about that. I think he said that he didn't know about that, and I think they might have caught him in a lie there. I know he was fired for lying about something. I couldn't remember what it was. But once you said that, I was like, that's exactly what it is. And so I know that had a lot to do with it there. And hold on a second. We just speaking of this whole Urban Meyer. I forgot. I don't mean to interrupt you. Ohio State has placed Urban Meyer on paid administrative leave effective immediately. Wow.
Yeah, I was about to say, he just popped up. He's going to have to resign. I mean, there's no denying. His whole thing's tarnished. How he did Florida dirty. How he's doing Ohio State's going to be dirty.
Right.
But I'm willing to take him back. If he comes down to games and wins us another natty, I'll be cool with him again. No, I'm just kidding. I really don't want him back. I think
as many conversations as me and you have had, about Urban Meyer, I know you're upset about the way that Urban Meyer left Florida, and I think he could have left. And personally, I think he could have – there could have been a better way for him to leave Florida. I think there could have been a better way for him to tell the fans, hey, I am having these problems. I need to take some time off. But, you know, I think there could have been a better way for him to leave. But I don't like the way he did Florida. You know, the Florida fans, the university, the players. I don't like the way he did that. And then, you know, I mean, but don't get me wrong. If he was truly having those health problems like the media reported that he was, and I'm not saying he's a liar that he was or wasn't. I'm not saying that he was a liar, but all I'm saying is that he, Urban Meyer, if he was having these problems, should have told the university saying, hey, I might need to take some time off here.
Urban Meyer.
What was that, buddy?
I said, there's a reason we call him Urban Liar around here in Gainesville.
Urban Liar, I like it. But, man, like I said, if he was having these issues, if Urban Meyer was having these issues at Florida, do you think – put yourself in his shoes. What do you think the best situation would be to go to the athletic director, go to the administration and say, hey, look, I'm having chest problems. I'm having these issues here with medical. Can I take a medical leave of absence for a little bit and get my head back on straight and try to be back before the season ready to go when my doctors clear me? And then I'm sure that Florida would have been okay with that. And if he would have done that, I bet you he'd be coaching Florida right now. He'd still be the head coach at Florida right now and probably have at least two more national championships in his name. Which then again,
he's
not
able to go with Cam. That's my thing with him. He lost Cam.
Yeah, letting Cam go. That also kind of hurt him there. I think if he keeps Cam Newton, he wins another national championship in Florida. I say he would probably win. I say if he was still Florida's head coach, he would have won two more max by now. It's hard to know for sure because Nick Saban running the conference, Nick Saban on top of the world right now in the conference. You know, that's just hard to figure out. You know what I mean? Because he, you know, all that's going on, you know, so. I mean, all that. It's a crazy situation. It's a crazy situation what happened in Florida. It's a crazy situation that's happening in Ohio State right now with him. I mean, domestic violence is nothing to take, you know, lightly. It's a serious matter. That's why Ray Rice's career, he never got a second chance in the NFL. I mean, that's why, you know, he never really got a second chance. It's hurt a lot of people's careers. You know, and if Urban Meyer, if the reports are true that he didn't know about it and he didn't do anything about it, you know, from a couple of years ago, then I think this is going to look bad for Ohio State as a whole, you know, as a university. And it's probably going to hurt Urban Meyer's reputation even more, especially if they decide, even though they're putting him on leave, even though they ultimately decide to let him go and let him walk and fire him or mutually agree to part ways, whatever they want to term it for him leaving. That would hurt him to get future jobs at some point down the road. So,
between us, I think this is his last coaching gig. I think he'll retire after this, and I think he's tarnished his reputation too much. But has anyone seen him in the last few hours? I'm pretty sure that left side of his chest is starting up. That left side.
I remember you putting in a comment earlier saying they're talking about Urban Meyer. I think he's rubbing his chest right now. So, but Man, I know Florida fans, I know y'all don't like the guy, the way he left and everything, but, you know, and I remember hearing you say before he's faked a heart attack or whatever to go so he could get out of Florida and go to Ohio State and have, you know, a better team. But I don't know how true that is. But I was watching, you know, FS1 earlier, and they were talking about the situation. And Colin Cowherd, he said that Urban Meyer should fire him immediately, no questions asked. And just not pay the man at all. Just go ahead and fire him, let him go before the season starts, and then just be done with everything. And, you know, and plus, if everything about this is true, it's going to hurt his coaching reputation. And he's not going to get another coaching job. He's going to be done. His career will be done, and he'll just be out, you know.
Yeah.
There won't be no more.
He might come back as like an administrative person, but that's about as far as I could see him going.
Yeah. That's as far as I can see him going there. But as far as coaching, and I remember him when he was at Florida, when he was having these, you know, when he was having those health issues or whatever. I remember him saying that, you know, coaching is very stressful. And it is. I'm not going to lie. Coaching is a very stressful job. However, If coaching caused those problems for him at Florida, why are they not causing him issues now at Ohio State? Now, granted, I know his doctor cleared him and everything, and he might have been on something to get him out of here. But Corey, if you sit down and think about it, man, I know you're a Florida fan, but if you sit down and think about it, if he had all these complications that he said that he had at Florida, and the minute he gets to Ohio State, he says his doctor tells him he's fine, and you don't seem there seems to be no complications for him at Ohio State. You gotta know something was up, and he wanted to get out of Florida and get the heck out of Dodge.
Yeah, that was the thing that made me the maddest. Like, he could have left, and you know, I was cool with him leaving. I understand that coaching is a very stressful job. I mean, they're working upwards of 16 hours a day.
Oh yeah.
Like, they're working from, you know, 5 a.m. till, you know, 10 o'clock at night some nights. But,
right,
you know, whenever he takes a year off and comes back and he's all of a sudden just healthy as an ox, you know, it just
right.
don't add up to me. And that's what kind of ticked me off the most. And
as a head coach, you run the entire show. You watch film.
Yeah.
You run the practices, you know. And some practices last anywhere from 2 hours to three and a half hours a day, and you're watching film most of the day. You got to put a game plan together. You got to make sure all the equipment is properly working. You got to get all the drills for the day set up. And there's a lot of work that goes into being a head football coach. So, I mean, and it is a very stressful job. So, I mean, that's not to take anything away from Urban Meyer. Patrick Hodge in a live feed says that Urban Meyer will get another job, but he shouldn't. I agree with you that he shouldn't, but even after this comes out, I don't think he will. If he does, it'd probably be not a type of school like a Florida or Ohio State. It'd probably be a school probably along the lines of like a lower tier school like a UCF or something like that. I could see that happening, but I don't see any big time jobs for him if he was to lose his job over this whole scandal.
Yeah. I could see him going to a smaller school. That's about it.
I mean, go to a smaller school, redeem yourself, and, you know, try to make everything better and try to make everything all good. But, you know, still at the end of the day, he's going to have that blemish on his reputation at Florida. He's going to have that blemish on his reputation for what just happened at Florida State. So, or not Florida State, excuse me, Ohio State. I'm getting my schools mixed up here. I'm thinking of Florida and Ohio State at the same time. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. Did he deserve a second chance at Ohio State to right the wrong that he did at Florida? Yes, I agree. I will say that. I will say that till the day I go to my grave. That he deserved a second chance for the way he left Florida to right his wrongs from Florida at Ohio State. And I thought so far he recruited better players. I don't know if it's because he recruited better players or if it's because he did something that causes players to just, like, not get in trouble, you know, with the law. Because at Florida, he'd have, like, anywhere from, I think if I saw the numbers correctly, I think it was anywhere from four to ten players a season. That includes the offseason, the regular season, 4 to 10 players a year getting arrested at Florida. And that number has drastically dropped at Ohio State. You might hear one or two a year at Ohio State getting arrested, maybe three. But, you know, he's really cleaned it up. I think he's really cleaned it up there at Ohio State. He's cleaned up his – I don't know if it's because of the way he runs things differently at Ohio State than he did at Florida, or if it's just if he's recruiting better caliber athletes or better character athletes. I'm not sure what's going into that there. But you got to think about it like this. It's crazy, man. It's crazy how all this works, and it's crazy that Urban Meyer is back into some more controversy in the college football world. Patrick Hodge says, good call. He may have to start over, or he'll get a cushy studio job somewhere. I agree with you there, Patrick. He may very well get a studio job at ESPN or Fox Sports 1 or somebody that covers college football. That might be his – excuse me, I apologize about that. That might be his next move after football. You know, he could definitely be an analyst afterwards, you know, after he's done coaching. But I think as far as head coaching-wise, I think this Ohio State is his last stop. So, but Corey, what do you think about that comment that Urban Meyer, he might have to start over and get like a studio job somewhere, like an ESPN or something? Corey,
can you hear me, buddy?
Yeah. Can you hear me, Corey? You there?
Sorry, I'm going through a dead spot. Yeah, I'm going through a bad spot of town.
All right. I'm going to ask you the same question again. Patrick Hodge in a live feed, he said, good call. He may have to start over or he'll get a cushy studio job somewhere. What do you think about that? Wait a minute. Patrick also just said, oh, my God, could you imagine if it's ESPN, they were already taking a beating of having 4 hours of programming without even mentioning it. So, that is true, Patrick. I've been watching ESPN most of the day, and I haven't heard them hardly talk about this situation at all. That's why I've been watching Fox Sports 1. They've been talking about it. SEC Network's been talking about it. Every big major sports company's been talking about it except for ESPN that I know of. But Corey, what do you think about Patrick's comment about him we'll start over there, about him probably getting a studio job somewhere after football if he was to get fired at Ohio State? Are you there, Corey? I think we might have lost Corey there for a second. Hopefully we'll keep him back on here. Keep him back on. He'll probably pop back in when he can hear me again. I think he's passing through a dead spot at the moment. Apologize about that, folks. But Patrick Hodge, I do agree with you. I do agree with you about the studio job. I could very well see him winding up at a place that'll cover college football, probably like a Bleacher Report or ESPN or somebody on TV that covers college football, maybe SEC Network because of his ties to Florida. So, maybe because of his ties there. So, and all that good stuff. So, maybe all that can happen. Corey, are you back on with me, buddy?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right, good. My thoughts on that, I could see him going to an analyst job, but I don't know if ESPN will take him back after what he did to him.
Well, I mean, it's also like Patrick Hodge said, you know, they've gone through, you know, ESPN was taking a beating of not having 4 hours of programming without even mentioning it. So, I mean, he said he's watching ESPN now. They're talking about it finally. But ESPN, for most of the day, they refuse to talk about this Urban Meyer incident. I don't know if it's because he used to work at ESPN. I don't know if it's because ESPN's got a thing with Urban Meyer. They don't want him to look bad. But, you know, I think you need to be unbiased in that situation and cover the situation at hand and talk about the situation at hand that's going on in Ohio State. But as far as him getting an analyst job, I could see him very well going back to ESPN, or I could see him, you know, with his ties to the University of Florida, I can see him working for probably somebody like the SEC Network. I could very well see that happening if he was to get fired from Ohio State. But like I said, right now, I knew Ohio State, they needed to do something right away, whether it was fire the man or put him on administrative leave, which is what they've had. He's on administrative paid leave. Who knows how long he's going to be, gone. I haven't looked, you know, and I don't know right now who their interim head coach is going to be, but I do know this is going to take
Chalk, baby.
What was that?
Oh, man, I don't see much of the SEC network. I mean, if he comes to Gainesville, there's a good chance we're throwing out the Gators.
You know what I'm saying? I could see him probably, what about maybe like a Fox Sports 1 or a Bleacher Report or something like that?
Yeah, I think more of a Fox Sports.
I mean, Fox Sports, they've already got like a lot of former coaches, players like Shannon Sharp, Chris Carter, and all these guys for them. And they've also got some knuckleheads on there like Colin Cowherd. No offense to Cowherd. They got some knuckleheads like him that work for him that's, you know, crazy and think Andrew Luck's the greatest thing since sliced bread, you know, that worked for Fox Sports 1. So I think Urban Meyer, he might fit in well over there at FS1 if he was to get, you know, if something was happening to him in Ohio State. But like I was saying a little bit earlier, Ohio State needed to do something right away. And I think they made the right call right now, putting him on administrative paid leave. And now, if I'm Ohio State, you've got Urban Meyer on leave. He's out right now. He's not going to be running a football team for a little while. So I would hire an independent third party law firm or something like that, or a private investigator that's a third party, has no connections at all with the University of Ohio State or Urban Meyer or the former coach or coach's ex-wife, you know, that's involved or whatever. Hire an independent third party private investigator or law firm and have them do the investigation. And then once the investigation is over, then make an ultimate decision on what you're going to do from Urban Meyer from there, whether you're going to fire him, whether you're going to keep him, whether you're going to, you know, whether or not he's going to be the future of the Ohio State Buckeyes program. I mean, right now they did make the right call by keeping him on, but just putting him on leave and not firing him. But I think they've done the ultimate job of, okay, we've done all we can do right now. We need more information. We need to get somebody in here to look more into this situation, help us know what we're going to do for our future. And I think that's, if I'm the athletic director and I'm anybody in the athletic department of Ohio State, that's the next step I take and get a private investigator in there and get this investigation over with, tell them to take their time and get all the information gathered. And once you gather all the information and everything, you know, is there, then I would worry about the future of Urban Meyer from there. So Corey, what are your thoughts on that, man? I think they need to get a third party in there and investigate this situation before they make an ultimate decision on his future. I think we lost Corey again. I'm waiting for him to call back in. Sorry about the technical difficulties, folks. I think he's leaving work, and I think he's hit a rough spot. So he keeps popping back in and out. So y'all just ride with me for a minute. Corey will be back in. I'll ask him this same question again here in a minute. But till then, let's just keep riding, you know. This Urban Meyer situation, I mean, it's just a big controversy, big complicated mess. We got a lot going on. And, man, I tell you what, I don't see this getting any better for Ohio State right now. I think it's going to get ugly. I think it's going to rear its ugly head and get even worse for not just Urban Meyer, but for Ohio State in general. So I think that's the way that we're heading down right now, and I think that's the way this whole situation is going. And I think that, you know, it's not going to be like not anything that we saw like a Penn State a couple years ago, or the whole Michigan State thing that we saw, I believe, a year or two ago. It's not going to be – I don't think it's going to be of that magnitude, but I think this – I think that this situation – It's not going to get any better for Ohio State and for Urban Meyer. There, Corey, I think you're back on, buddy. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm back on, man. I can hear you.
All right. Everybody, I apologize about that. I think Corey's hitting a dead spot. I think he's on his way home from work. I remember talking to him a little bit earlier about that. So, but anyways, Corey, what I was going to ask you, I was talking a second ago about trying to get like a third party, probably private investigator or law firm in to investigate and talk about this situation at Ohio State. And so I just want to gather what your thoughts are on that before hire a third party representative to look into this, investigate this, and look into it before making an ultimate decision on what you're going to do with Urban Meyer. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, they'll have a full investigation on it. They'll have to take this very seriously because they're paying him a lot of money, and realistically, you don't want to lose a coach like Urban Meyer because he's such a talented coach and such a great recruiter. But at the same time, you got to save your own self at this point, because if everything comes out to be true, then
right.
We're gonna have to give him the option of, hey, we're gonna have to fire you, or we'll let you resign. Which I'm pretty sure they'll give him that option, like, hey, it's gonna be a forced resignation. So
right.
We'll just
see
how they go, but that's where I'm at with it.
And the unfortunate reality about when it comes to these college programs and these controversies like this, more people, more coaches and people in the administrative offices, they're more focused about earning their money, and in their minds, money talks more than, their reputation. So, I mean, things like this Urban Meyer scandal, Urban Meyer, you could say that he's self-centered, he's all about himself and everything, but he is, I will give the man credit, he is a fantastic head coach. I think he's deserved the national championships he got at Florida, and I think he deserves all the good praises he gets and everything for being a good coach. I know a lot of coaches respect him for what he's done in the business, and Urban Meyer is one of the best college football coaches in the game right now. I'm not going to lie about that. But, a situation like this cannot be, taken lightly. And you got a lot of college football programs and a lot of college football coaches, they're more focused on money than basically their reputation. So, I mean, that's at least what it seems like. And that's why I think that's probably why Urban Meyer's coming out and not saying a whole lot about this, saying that and trying to deny everything, I'm not saying he's getting paid to tell the media something. All I'm saying is he's getting paid by the University of Ohio State, and he's got a legal team lined up telling him, hey, especially when Ohio State starts an investigation, he'll probably have people be like, hey, don't say anything until the investigation's over with, because it's going to be an even more complicated mess if that's the case. But ESPN's Brent McMurphy, I think he got some text records or phone records or something about Urban Meyer talking about that situation, about how they might have covered that up. But, that information is out there. I can't remember exactly to what extent that information is. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. All I've heard was hearsay about it. So it is a big deal going on right now, and if that information is true and Urban Meyer did cover it up and he knew about it and he didn't tell the administration, then there's going to be something big coming at Ohio State that's not going to be pretty. And you think about it, Ohio State right now, they're the only college football program that's never lost more than 7 games in a season. So I'm not saying they're going to lose that many games if they suspend him for the rest of the season. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But I'm just saying if he is suspended for the rest of the season, then Ohio State, they're not going to be in contention for the college football playoff. They're not going to be, out there for – in the running for a big New Year's Six Bowl. I think they're probably going to be and also it depends on who they name as their interim head coach. That also depends on that as well. But if Urban Meyer is not coaching all this season, I think that the that The Ohio State University is in for a world of trouble, football-wise, school-wise, administrative-wise. This situation might lead to a cleaning of house in the football program and the athletic department. You never know, but that's just where it's heading right this. Anthony T. Baltimore in the live feed says, I saw a Braves player getting a head rub from another Braves player. Was that real or fake? If it was real, can you tell me what was going on? Well, I don't know if that was real or fake because I didn't watch the Dodgers series. I had to work at the times that we were playing the Dodgers for that weekend series. I will tell you this, though. Albies and Acuna, they are best friends. And they have a lot of respect for each other. They come up through the minor leagues together. So if it was real, it's probably like a joke or whatever. Because you see them joking around with each other all the time, like Albies Acuna putting Albies in a little chokehold and messing around with everybody. So Patrick Hines like he knows it was real, but I didn't see it with my own two eyes. So I'm not saying it was real or not. I'm just seeing that picture that I've seen floating around on the internet. So, but. It did give me a laugh, though, I will say that. So, but, all right, Corey, we got a caller on another line. Are you back on with me, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here, man. Sorry, I keep losing service.
Oh, no, you good, buddy. I just want to make sure you're still with me. We got a phone call. We got a caller on the line. We're going to go ahead and go to that caller. We're going out to area code 505, last four, 6626. You're on Bones Jones Sports Show. Who am I speaking with?
Devin.
Hey, what's going on, Devin?
Good, just visiting my aunt.
Hey, there you go, buddy. I'm glad to hear you're doing well. Hope you had a safe trip to visit them, and I hope your family's doing well, man. And glad to hear from you. I know it's been a couple weeks. I've had a lot going on the last couple weeks, and it's been today. Today's my last show. We got a few coming up, so.
Okay, that's fine.
Right. But anyway, so Devin, what's on your mind, buddy? What you want to talk about?
The World Cup, 2002 World Cup. I don't know if you saw a post about it in the group that a tall sitting team was being accused of bringing false propaganda about Australia and United States.
Yeah, I heard about this. This is, and the first thing that comes to my mind when I first saw this was it was the equivalent of like the New England Patriots Spygate scandal, except this has got much more implications than that did, than the Patriots Spygate scandal. This situation here with Qatar hosting the 2022 World Cup could eventually cost them from hosting the World Cup at the next, in 2022? Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. But if this is true and they found guilty of this, they will lose the World Cup. This is what I read.
Would the national team not make it to the World Cup as well? Is that how that would work out too, or?
When a host nation is when the host nation is holding a tournament in their country, they're automatically qualified.
Oh, they're automatically qualified. So if Qatar loses the World Cup because of this whole spying incident, then Qatar does not get an automatic bid to the World Cup. They have to fight their way back into the World Cup, correct?
Yeah, they have to fight their way in.
Man, Qatar might have shot themselves in the foot with this.
Yeah, if it's true, FIFA can ban or suspend the national team.
Wow, this is huge. I was reading about this earlier today, and my first thought was I was speechless because I didn't know what to say. My jaw dropped. I was like, you cannot be serious about this. And it turns out, if there is truth to this, to that report that came out, then Qatar has basically shot themselves in the foot because you got a big opportunity to host the 2022 World Cup, and your team can get an automatic bid into it, And you never know. You might get a good run at it. But now, if all this is true, then we have a big mess on our hands in the world of soccer as well. So, I mean, this has got a lot of implications wrapped up in this right here.
Because Australia was third in voting, and the United States came up short to Qatar.
Mm-hmm. But the United States... But the United States, and I believe it's all of North America, getting the 2026 World Cup. Could they get the 2022 World Cup if this comes out as true? And then probably Australia get the 2026 World Cup slot? Could you see that happening?
No. If, for example, you know Russia is a European country, correct?
Right.
For the next two World Cups, all European nations cannot bid for the World Cup hosting rights for two tournaments.
Wow.
South America can't do it either because they already hosted 2014. They have to wait until after 2022.
Wow. I didn't even know that those continents couldn't bother to bid for the next two tournaments. I didn't even know that. There is a whole lot riding on this then. A lot more than what I originally thought as well.
Yeah, and this not only affects the World Cup, it affects the Confederation Cup, the tournament that's 1 year before the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And then
right.
I see an Asian team hosting, the Qatar is an Asian team or an African team. Because Morocco was the only African team that voted. Now they can host because South Africa hosted 2010 World Cup.
Okay. But man, there's a lot of controversy. There's a lot of controversy happening in the world of sports today. I mean, soccer, college football controversy with Urban Meyer. I mean, we've got it all happening right now. So
yeah,
I mean, there's a lot going on right now.
So I don't know how this is gonna play out. I'm like upset because I was upset from the very beginning when the United States lost to Qatar in the World Cup because they're saying they're forced to work there, forced laborers, heating, and they have segregation against women.
Right.
Now this should be stripped of the World Cup if this is true.
Wow. I'm just speechless about that whole incident right there. That's wow. That is just amazing to know that winning bid for the 2022 FIFA World Cup, and now because of potential spying and probing and stuff like that they might now lose the World Cup. I mean, this is wow. I'm just speechless. I'm speechless. I mean,
but this happened before the new president took over all of this corruption with Seth Blatter.
Oh, before the new FIFA president took over?
Yeah. This the World Cup for 2022 was awarded before this new president took over and a few
right.
years ago.
Okay. All right. That makes sense too. There could have been a little collusion. There could have been something going on behind closed doors there too to make sure that deal got done before the new president, you know, took over there at FIFA. But, you know, that's a topic for another day. So, I mean, I clearly see how that could make sense now and why that could be getting taken away. I think there's more information that might need to come out, that probably will come out within the next few days or weeks about this. But if it's true, then they should. In my opinion, they should be stripped of hosting the World Cup. They should be stripped of hosting it. They should be stripped of not being able to go to the next FIFA. But then again, I've also got that thought of mine that you don't punish like the soccer players for the events of some knuckleheads that, you know, because for them trying to get the World Cup, you know, there at their place. So why make the team suffer? And unfortunately, that's just the way that this world works, man. So, I mean, I could see them losing it and then them losing out on it, not even having a chance to probably fight and qualify for the next World Cup if this happens. So, I mean,
yeah. Actually, I agree with you.
I think this team has
nothing to do with it. They shouldn't be at fault, and they should fight for a spot.
Right. And I think that this, situation also, like the Urban Meyer situation in Ohio State, I think this one is also going to get worse before it gets better. Now, I don't know how quickly all the information is going to come out. I don't know how quickly a decision will be made about this because the next World Cup is 4 years down the road. But I think that they need to get it done as quickly. You know, look into it as much as you can and make a decision as quickly as possible. So that way you're not having to rush to figure out what you're going to do for the World Cup and decisions to be made and stuff. So, I mean, try to
and
get all
have,
the
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And also, like, get all the information that you were saying, then have a timeline for these host nations that want to bid as a backup plan. If this
right.
is true, have them the application, and then make sure you have the money. And because Brazil, when they hosted the World Cup, they thought they would postponed because the construction too. If you have the financial support, you have the labor to do it in a proper way, then apply, do the process, do the paperwork.
Right. And I agree with what you said, you know. But the way that I would do it, the way that I would do this is if they are going to strip Qatar of hosting the World Cup, the next FIFA, I would take the countries that finished second. I take the next three countries in line that went second, third, and fourth. Maybe you throw in a fourth country and throw in whoever was fifth in line from the bidding, and you get together with those four nations and you say, okay, y'all, we have a bidding war amongst them, or, you know, and let them bid for it and bid it out and duke it out. Or you go to whoever was second and third and you say, okay, do you still want the FIFA World Cup? If you do, do you have the money? Is it ready? Do you have the facilities? Are you going to have facilities built in time if you don't have all the necessary facilities? All these other things that go into it. So, like I said, a good backup plan, and it's like you said, I agree with you with what you said, Devin. Have a good backup plan in mind for when, you know, the unthinkable happens. Qatar gets, you know, stripped of the World Cup. So, I mean, if I'm FIFA, explore all options at this point. Explore every, you know, do everything you can. Have a backup plan in place. Even have a plan C in place, whatever that might be. And because, like, you know, like, I think this is going to become an ugly, ugly situation for FIFA and for Qatar and for the World Cup. So.
I think the United States would be out of the this running of like
because
the yeah because
right.
of this World Cup they won. I think they would be out.
So you think probably didn't you say it was Australia that finished third? They probably would. You think they would probably be second in the running?
Yeah, Australia was third. Then I think the combined bid of England and Belgium was fourth, and then Spain and Portugal was last. So I would have those nations, if they want their hosting rights, if they want to fight for the hosting rights, that'd be the first nation that we talk to.
Okay. All right. That would make sense.
Like I said, my backup plan. If they want to do it a different way, have a timeline, have all these nations from Asia, Africa, or the Oceania nations. To do the paperwork and have the money, the finances, the labels, everything ready. If they can do it, then submit an application.
Right. I 100% agree with you there. I agree with you, completely there. So, Devin, do you keep up much with college football at all, man?
Somewhat.
Do you have a favorite team in college football?
Oregon, because of Marcus Mariota, your Titans quarterback.
Okay. All right. I like that. I think I made a new best friend right here. He likes Marcus Mariota of the Titans. So, so you Oregon fan because of Marcus Mariota?
Yeah.
I like that. Marcus Mariota's he's a good quarterback. He's a good person. And I love Marcus Mariota myself. So, you think Oregon will have a good year this year, college football wise?
I would say a decent year. Maybe two or three losses this year, because late after Marcus Mariota, the problem was having a quarterback that can manage the game and win the game. That's the problem.
So you see like a 9 or 10 win season coming up for Oregon?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I can see that too. Oregon's a good team in Pac-12. That's a good conference out there. I could very well see that happening also.
Yeah. They're not gonna make the college playoffs. There's no way they can make the playoffs. I would say they'd be like a top 15 team. Top 10, maybe.
Right. I was about to say, I think Oregon, they could be in the running for the Pac-12 championship. But at the end of the day, I don't think they'll win the Pac-12. I think that'll go to USC. I think they might win the Pac-12 out there. Washington, I don't know. Washington might be in contention too. Washington State. You got several teams out there in the Pac-12. They could be in contention. And I could raise some eyebrows out there, and Oregon's one of the teams that I had in, or one of the two or three teams that I had in contention. So I'm excited to see what they can do.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. I'd like to thank each and every one of you. I'd like to thank Devin for calling in, Corey for being my co-host. This has been our last episode, at least for a little bit, at least for the semester. I'll know more, kind of. In the weeks to come, and as the semester gets going, whether we're going to have another show or not, or be able to pick it back up after semester. But I appreciate every single one of you for your continued support in the group and on this show. I truly appreciate each and every one of you. I love each and every one of you. Corey, I think Corey dropped again. So on behalf of Corey, we'd just like to say thank you so much. For everything you guys have done for us. This has been real fun. Hopefully I'll be able to pick it back up sometime again. And with that being said, let's go ahead and close this bad boy out on a bang.